Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours. So here's how we roll. If you want to be coached, all you have to do is raise your hand and I will call on you. If you want to chat amongst yourselves, use the chat feature at the bottom of your screen. And if you just want to post a quick question in the Q&A, you may do that as well. I probably will not check the chat, especially if it's super busy. And I will check the Q&A at the end. So let's get started. Hope everyone's having a good evening. All right. Emily Rose, you are first.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm so excited. I just saw this and was having such an off day and saw this and I thought, this is exactly where I need to be right now. So
there you go. Yeah, what's going on? Sure.
So I've been in PNP since January and I have lost about 20 pounds. So I'm very excited about that. In terms of my mind is kind of in a bad spiral a little bit right now because I have a lot of medical stuff going on and I felt like I had such a great groove going at the beginning with the daily plans, and I still weigh in every Friday, that's still happening, and doing the sheet with it. But since I'm having a lot of GI issues, what I've been able to eat has changed, and I felt like since I had such a great groove, my mind has just kind of gone off track with that because I never know what's going to make me sick. So I go through like a period, like a week, where sometimes I'm not able to eat really anything and everything kind of makes me upset. So I'm just like drinking broth, and then I have a week where then I'm starving the next week and I could eat, and then I feel like I'm overeating. And so I'm trying to facilitate my mind through all of that, if that makes sense. Like how I'm in unknown territory, I feel like. So I don't know how to manage my mind when sometimes I feel like I'm overeating, and then I don't know if that's because I didn't eat a lot the previous week or if I'm just kind of spiraling out and that's an excuse I'm using. And I honestly don't know the answer to that.
So what do you think? Do you think you're using that as an excuse to overeat?
I think sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I am, and then I think sometimes I'm not. I think I am sometimes.
Okay. So why do you think that happens? Why do you think you tell yourself that? What's the thought? Answer that. What's the thought?
The thought when I think mm-hmm. I'm overeating. Mm-hmm. I think, oh, it's okay if I have this. I didn't eat anything really last week.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the thought. Yeah.
That's probably it. So is that the truth? Or is that just a justification?
I think sometimes it's a justification and sometimes it's the truth. I have had an eating disorder before, so mm-hmm. I know that my mind is kind of miscalibrated. When I say, oh, it's okay if I have this, I feel like I just started getting the hang of the hunger scale when this GI stuff kicked in. So I feel like my hunger scale is kind of off when I don't eat a lot for a week. And then I don't honestly know if I'm going off. And then my kind of eating disorder brain comes in and thinks like, you're eating too much. But then my other brain says, no, you're eating at a two. And is this a two? Can you go do yoga? Which is my two mm-hmm. mindset. Can you go do yoga right now? And sometimes the answer is no. And
uh-oh, you just froze up. I hope you're coming back to me. Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk just in case she does come back. So I hope you can catch. Oh, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. So you said a couple of things. The first is Well, you keep talking about your eating disorder brain. And I want you to, consider not calling it that. It's just a suggestion in your mind. Okay. And it honestly, it doesn't sound a lot different than other people who are trying to figure out their hunger scale. Am I eating too much? Am I eating too little? Maybe you should have a little bit more, are very, very common thoughts for people who are trying to figure out their hunger scale. Okay. You just froze up again. So I'm going to keep talking. The other thing I want you to know is that when you're in the midst of GI issues, that's your body telling you it's okay not to eat because we need to repair whatever's going on with our GI issues. That's not permission to overeat when you can eat. Okay, so what you're doing when you have your GI issues and not eating anything but broth is paying attention to what your body needs. Then when your body heals enough for you to eat, you should still pay attention to what your body needs, okay? It's not an excuse or an opportunity to overeat. It's an opportunity to pay attention to what your body needs. And whatever voices are going on in your head, you know, you can name them whatever you want, are only suggestions or offering, you know, options as to how to think about when you stop eating. We all have them. Okay, is this enough? Did I just hit my plus two? Maybe a few more won't hurt. All of that is very, those are very, very common things that our brains tell ourselves as we're figuring that out. So for you, what I would absolutely do is really, really consider how your body is feeling when it's time to eat or when it's not time to eat. Okay, especially with GI issues.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So just check in, like how am I feeling? Like how am I actually feeling right now?
Right. Right.
Body, not mm-hmm. necessarily what's the chatter going on in my mind, but just pay attention to how does my body actually feel right now?
Exactly. That's all the hunger scale is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always, we are always reconciling what our brains are telling us with what our bodies are telling us. Because if we're used to overeating, or eating whenever we feel like it, or eating by the clock, our brains are going to be telling us to do that, regardless of what else is going on, okay? What the whole focus of PMP and the hunger scale is to pay attention to your body and to reconcile the two.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. It's so simple, but it makes so much sense.
Well,
to just honor that, like whatever my body is feeling to
right.
in with it more. Yeah.
And you know, I would even go to the assumption that you're going to hear, I mean, all of us, I bet everybody, there's almost 100 people on this call at this moment. I bet everybody would raise their hand to say, I get that kind of thought too. I get that kind of thought too. It's not necessarily an eating disorder thought. It's just a thought that people get as they're learning their hunger scale, as they're learning when to stop.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask one more quick question?
Of course.
The other question I had was my 24-hour plans have not been going so well with this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a general protocol that I've mm-hmm. been keeping, like in terms of how many exceptions I have a week. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much eat the same dang thing every single day. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily stray from it. I'm not like a snacker or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of feel like in my brain, I'm thinking you're not doing it right if you're not doing your 24-hour plan. But what I do right now is I have one for the week and I say, these are the planned meals I have this week. And I don't worry about each day because I don't know how I'm going to be feeling each day. I mean, I'm still losing at least a half a pound a week. So it seems like it's working okay for me. I'm very happy with the progress, but I don't know if you had a suggestion if maybe I should still just every day write it down. If I don't need it, I don't need it. Or I'm just not sure what you would recommend there.
I would, okay. Because writing it down, it actually just puts you into the habit of doing that. So, you know, if your GI issues resolve, then you already have that habit in place. Okay. It's not having to relearn the habit. So I would, and for you, because you never know when they're going to flare up, I would have options. I would say, okay, if I feel good, this is what I'm going to eat. If I don't feel good, this is what I'll eat. And I would just move it work on it from there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then you can also put on there anything off the weekly plan works too. But I'd write it down every day because that's your daily commitment.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Feel better.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Erica, you're next. Yep, there you are. Hello.
I'm muted.
Yep.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, super. So just a little bit of background. I joined Weight Watchers and I lost about 30 pounds. And once I hit my goal, I found your free podcast and I loved it. And so I started just listening to you. I joined the tribe back in January and I've kept my weight off for about a year and a half, and I'm super thrilled. Mm-hmm. I have some fear that I've mostly kept it off. I've maybe gained 3 pounds. My clothes are fitting well. Mm-hmm. But then I keep thinking, well, is that really 3 pounds? And if I do 3 pounds every year for, 3 years, that's 10 pounds. And so what I'm trying to decide is, do I want to lose more weight? I'm happy with the size that I'm am. I knew at this point I was going to take a break, keep it off for a year, be successful at that. And then if I wanted to lose more weight. So I'm a January baby. When I joined in January, I thought, okay, I'm going to lose more weight. So I started doing the 24-hour plans and I realized that at this point in my weight loss journey, like I don't have to lose weight. I don't have a lot of leeway anymore. I can eat off plan because I exercise a lot and I can maintain, but for me to actually lose weight, like I can't do very many overeats anymore. And so I was tracking like really well. And I noticed I only really stayed on plan maybe 3 times a week. And I went, oh, well, that's why I'm not losing any weight because 4 days a week is enough to make sure that I don't lose any mm-hmm. weight. And so I've just been sitting here for 5 months thinking, do I just keep, am I happy with where I'm at? I'm just not really sure what I want to do. That's where okay. I'm at.
So, I mean, you know what I'm going to ask you.
You froze.
Did I freeze or did you freeze?
You froze. At least you froze on my end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. You know what I'm going to ask you?
Actually, I don't.
What are you going to ask me? Do you really want to lose more weight?
Do I want?
Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes and no.
No.
I would
okay.
Say
tell
my
me yes why, and then tell me no why.
Okay. I would say that my behaviors clearly show no. And the reason no is because the thought of like doing the points again, which I'm never going to go back to, was hard and restrictive and I white knuckled it.
Okay.
I don't want to do that. That is
right.
Horrible to me.
Mm-hmm.
Would I love to lose more weight? Yes. I am at the top end range of what is considered healthy for my weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like just barely in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd have
somebody,
more health benefits if I lost.
Somebody in an office in Washington, D.C. or somewhere has told you that you're in the top range, end of your range to be healthy. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure we're clear on that.
Right. But you know what? I feel good. I exercise. I don't know. I kind of think I don't want to lose any more weight.
But
then I do look at some of my eating habits, like the sugar, and I'm like, that's not good for me. Go ahead.
All right. So here's the balance that you have to choose. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How you look at your lifestyle as it is now and decide if this is the lifestyle you can sustain for the rest of your life and you're happy with, then you just kind of cruise along and let your body choose its weight. But if there are edges that you know you want to trim because you don't feel good or because it's not good for you or because of this or because of that, then chances are you can trim up those edges. Like if you're overeating four times a week, you probably want to trim that up a little bit, and that you may lose a little bit of weight as a result of doing those things. But all things considered, if you are happy with where you are and you don't want to be any more restrictive, why not stay where you are? Why wouldn't you stay where you are?
Because I had a number in my head that I wanted to get down to. I wanted to lose 10 more pounds. It's just a magic number.
Okay. So why? What is magic about the number?
That's the number I would be super pretty at.
Oh,
super vain. But that's
okay.
That's the number. Like I feel like I would be most beautiful.
Okay.
Or I think I am beautiful now, but it's like, and that's the number that, I don't know.
Are you willing to do what it takes to reach and maintain that number?
Not right now, no.
Okay. So that's what you have to reconcile. That's what you have to decide on. Do you want to be beautiful at this number?
It's okay to be where I'm at, right?
Do you want to be beautiful at low number, or do you want to be beautiful at the number that you're at and not living in a more restrictive lifestyle? It's totally your choice. There's not a wrong answer here.
Right. You know, I think I love where I'm at. I really do. Like even though I've had this magic number in my head for a long time, like this I can do for the rest of my life. That's so exciting to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the magic number, but like, and maybe, I guess that answers my question. Thank you. I know what I want to do.
You answered your own question, but that's really how you make that decision is whether or not you're happy in the lifestyle and in the size that you're in right now. And what are you willing to do in order to lose more weight? You know, there's no right or wrong weight for anybody to be. Mm-hmm. It's all about how you feel about your body and how your body feels physically and what you're willing to do in order to stay at the weight. And this whole question you had about keeping it off, you know that your weight is, you're going to fluctuate probably 5 or 6 pounds up and down all the time, right? I mean, it's going to be, you might be 3 pounds up today, and next month you might be 5 pounds down. If you see a trend going up over time, then you clean up your edges. That's what people in maintenance do. They see that trend and they say, you know what? I've gotten a little complacent here. I'm overeating a little much, or maybe I should cut back on the wine, or, you know, the desserts have crept back in, or I'm eating 2 out of 3. Whatever that is, you look for the trend and clean it up, and then the weight comes back off. That's just what we do in maintenance. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's the rate. That's right. That's the maintenance mindset. Does that help?
Great. No, this is really helpful. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you.
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Karen, you're next. Karen, you're sideways. There you are.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're a little soft, but I can hear you. What's up?
Well, I'm an April baby, and this is my first time coaching.
Wow,
okay. And I was just journaling. I'm in the car waiting for my daughter, and I was journaling when I got the Zoom alert, and so I thought maybe I'd run this by you.
Okay.
Today was my last day of school, and I had unplanned sweet treats, and I have found with things that are made out of sugar, I tend to go from 1 to 60 in 20 seconds. So this has happened twice recently that I have documented in my journal. Today it went from 3 cookies to 2 donuts to ice cream, and the ice cream wasn't my plan, but the stuff before that was not.
Okay.
And so the thoughts that I identified today were just feelings of celebrating things. So celebrating mm-hmm. the last day of school, celebrating the student who made the cookies for me, mm-hmm. celebrating the employee that we were saying goodbye to with donuts. Mm-hmm. And I sort of have this trend in my behavior where I have one and then it goes to all of them. So I'm finding it hard to stop at one, and I want to live a life where at some point I can stop at one mm-hmm. and enjoy one cookie and not eat all the cookies. Mm-hmm. So I tried to write down some thoughts, like what I wrote in my journal today was my thoughts about sugar. And the first one was, it's bad. So sugar, sweet foods are bad for me, or at least not promoting weight loss. And then I wrote that it tastes good. It feels like a treat. I get excited when I can eat that stuff. And then immediately that leads to feeling powerless around me.
Oh, so, powerless.
Yeah. And then the last time that I did this was at a party, and a graduation party. And it was kind of the same sort of mindset of celebrating the graduate. Mm-hmm. And I guess those same series of thoughts, and it just went from 0 to 60.
Okay. So what's your question? You've done a good job analyzing. What's your question?
Well, I feel like I get the first step of the analyzing, and then I don't know where to take it from there.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, I know my thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to action. So I got to identify the thought mm-hmm. that gets me to eat all the sugar.
Okay. So
I think it's almost like a fear of like opening that door of having one, like breaking the seal. You know what I mean? Like if I don't have any, I'm fine. But if I
that's probably another model. Okay. Let's talk. And there is that. There's, you know, you have a model that says if I eat one, I'll eat 60, and that's right. Fear, and that's white knuckle, and then probably end up eating anyway, right?
Right.
But this. When this happened today, the feeling line was celebratory, right?
Right.
So what was the thought?
What was the thought? It was probably a thought of, like, I deserve it, rewarding myself for a hard year being finished.
Okay.
Let me just focus on the first thing, which was the cookies from my beloved student.
Mm-hmm.
And so my feeling was probably like, you deserve this. You've taught him for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to disappoint him by not eating, maybe.
Yeah, and he wouldn't have even known if I ate them or not.
Oh, okay.
That's the funny part. Yeah. It was, he gave them to me and then left, and then I enjoyed them.
Okay.
So it was probably something just of that.
Okay.
Wrapping up the year, that finality that comes with the end of something, those kinds
of thoughts, maybe. So that's one model. You know, we have cookies in the C line, mm-hmm. and I deserve these. Mm-hmm. And then the feeling is celebratory, and the action is eat, and the result is that you deserve cookies on your hips. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Because you ate, right?
Right.
But what was the next thing you ate? The donuts?
Yes.
Okay. So what was the thought with the donuts? Well, I've already screwed up, maybe?
Yes, I have that thought a lot. Well,
okay.
I'm already off my plan. I'm already past my two.
Right. That's the one. That's the one you need to, you need to watch for both of them, but that's the one that keeps you eating past just having one.
Yes.
Okay.
I get that all the time.
You say that to yourself all the time? Well, I've already screwed up.
Oh, I've already screwed up today. Yep.
So is that the truth? I mean, you've already had an overeat, but why wait till the next day to right the ship? Why do you
I don't know why. There's no good reason to. And sometimes I'll do the recovery worksheet and I'll uh-huh. answer the last question. Are you willing to move on and get back on plan? Yes. And then an hour later, I'm off plan again. So
that's what you need to clean up. You need to remind yourself, I'm back on plan. You know, when you see that thought come in that says, well, you've already screwed up. Let's just, you know, have some donuts and some ice cream and all the things and top it off with some pizza and some beer and whatever else. That's where you say, no, I've done my recovery worksheet. I'm riding the ship now, not tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. the whole concept of the day after perfect comes into play here, except for you, it's the meal after perfect. It's the eat after perfect.
Yeah.
So what you've done is you stayed on plan, then you've had an overeat, then you throw the baby out with the bathwater. The whole thing you need to do is to say after the overeat, okay, that's behind me. I've analyzed, I've done my recovery worksheet. It does not matter what time of day it is, I'm back on plan. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no more of this, well, I screwed it up. Well, I did, but that doesn't give me permission to continue to eat the rest of the day. Right. You just have to talk to yourself. You have to remind yourself of that. Post your sticky notes everywhere, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You just have to remind yourself. When you say, how do I do that? You just start the conversation. You know, you might start the conversation and say, well, you know what? I really should not eat the rest of this because, you know, Kathy coached me and she told me what I should think. And then you eat anyway. But you've started the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have to practice the conversation so that when it does come time to have the donuts after the cookies, you say, you know what? I didn't plan donuts and it's going to suck not to eat them because I really want to celebrate with them. But I also want to lose weight this week. Or I also want to show myself that I can stop these, you know, when I start eating, it's not the sugar, it's the thoughts. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you said you started talking about sugar is bad and all that kind of stuff. It's not the sugar. It's all the brain.
Yes. And I know that, but this I've documented, and it's the sugar where I go off the rails. I don't do that with other foods, but you know, I've been working on inserting a pause. So when you said have that conversation with yourself,
yeah.
Sometimes it is so fast, like I'm onto the donut before I even know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so I'm just hoping that that's another thing you would say takes practice of inserting the pause. And having your upper brain talk back to your lower brain.
Right. You eventually stop eating, okay? You're onto the donut without thinking. Sure, okay, yeah. But maybe not the second donut. And then maybe the ice cream. There is a point where you hear the thought, I should probably stop. Mm-hmm. Or should I keep it? There is a point where, you know, the overeat stops.
And
or
then
the thoughts come in.
Does that thought eventually start coming sooner with practice?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Now, here's one thing I want to caution you about, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a situation like this again next week. I know you won't have another last day of school, but let's say there's a situation again like this next week and you have another overeat. That doesn't mean you failed. It means you have another overeat to look at to say, okay, at what point did I hear that thought and did I really stop or did I ignore the thought? You know, that's when you put Coach Kathy on your shoulder to talk to you about, you know, how could I have done this differently? And you do your recovery worksheet and all that. But it's not, after you've been coached, it's not a failure to have another overeat. It's an opportunity to take the coaching that you got and apply it to that overeat.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's a really important, you know, I run into that so much. You know, I thought I'd be able to stop. I thought I'd be able to stop overeating. You're not going to go to perfect in a minute, right? But like you said, that conversation starts happening sooner after you start eating the sugar. And, you know, sugar is genetically engineered to make us want more, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. And some people, like me, I'm with you on that, love the sugar. I love the donuts. I love the cookies. I'm all about that stuff. Some people are just not. So they, you know, they have the savory. They can't stop with the nuts.
Right.
Something. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So,
sounds good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. My daughter's getting in the car from her lesson. So I'll sign up with you.
All right. Take
all right,
care.
Thanks, Kathy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Miriam. You're next. I'm not sure what just happened. Let's see if this brings you up. Oh, I didn't get Miriam. That was weird. Let me try again. Miriam. Is that you? Oh, I think it is. Hang on, let me unmute you. Hi.
Hi. I was worried for a minute. I was checking my camera to see if I had a post-it over it or something.
No, I Zoom hops around sometimes. So
I have a question that I could actually use help with a model.
Okay.
I tried to do it myself this morning, and mm-hmm. I'll tell you the problem. Okay. And then I'll tell you some ideas where my mind went. So I'm feeling a sadness about not cooking and shopping as much as I used to, even more than a sadness over not eating as much. My husband and I had owned a restaurant, and then we didn't have the restaurant, but I was raising a family, and I was in Weight Watchers. And so on Sunday night, I was making casseroles to split to eat to take to lunch on Thursday. I mean, the whole thing was shopping and cooking and putting, like, I go into a store like Wegmans. I don't know if you have them down there.
No, I don't, but I know Wegmans.
You know what they are? Yeah. I absolutely hyperventilate, and I go in and I say, Miriam, just be calm. You don't have to. And I get so overwhelmed. And now I can go in and I can talk myself off a ledge and I can go in and just get what I need to get. Or the other day, it's mostly when we're in like fresh farmer markets and there's all the produce. And then we go to one that has all the Italian cheeses and the salamis. And I just can't eat that much anymore. And it's not even that, I'm not going to eat that much, like to say, you know, a decision, I'm not going to eat that much. I can't. Like some days, at most I have two meals, and some days I only have one meal with maybe a snack. And I just feel this real sadness about just not the quantity and the variety of food that I'm used to all of these years. So I did a model, and the circumstance was just food, okay? Whether it's a super food, okay? So my unintentional model was sad that I can't eat at all. My feeling was sad, unsettled, and anxious. Anxious was actually a part of it. My action was find excuses to overeat, and the result is overeat and stay overweight. So then I did the intentional model, food being the circumstance, and the thought is I don't have to eat at all now. The feeling was still anxious. The action was take care in meal planning, like maybe, you know, have more variety or whatever. And then the result was fit it all in, especially my favorites, but not all of it all at the same time. So, you know, it's like I'm trying to do it on many levels. First of all, walking into a supermarket and being so overwhelmed. And then just really the sadness of, you know, I'll have a piece of chicken and
Let's talk about the sadness first.
Yeah. Okay.
When you say, I just can't eat as much as I used to, why is that?
Well, since being in the program, I'm 2 to 2.
Okay. So it's the hunger scale. You're following your hunger scale.
I'm following the hunger scale, yes.
Which has told you that you were way overeating and you should eat less according to what your body needs.
Yes.
Why is that a bad thing? Why does that make you sad?
That makes me sad because I miss the quantities.
Why do you miss the quantities?
Good question. Why do I miss the quantities? Because it was filling in many ways. I mean, not just filling my body, but filling just my creativity and I don't know. That's a real good question. That's why I'm calling. I don't know why I'm so sad.
Let's assume that you can still be creative with your cooking. Because you can.
I can, but I don't know. Then that's not it.
Okay.
So it's not the creativity. It's the lack of quantity. I mean, I've just eaten. I mean, look at me.
Why does that bother you? Why does it bother me?
I don't know. That's why I try to do the model.
Okay, if you had to guess, if I gave you $10,000, if I could give you $10,000 to tell me why it might be bothering you, what would your answer be? Just guess. Take a wild guess.
Why would it be bothering me? Should have thought this out more before I called. I didn't know I was going to be on Jeopardy. Why does it bother me so much? Because eating that much is who I am.
Oh, is it?
It's a really big part of my identity.
Well, and
I look at my future self and I see somebody who like nibbles or, you know, has a little something. And it's just not who I am. I'm a big eater. When my husband of 40 years, when we were dating and how I knew he was the one for me, we were eating and he was just sitting like looking at me. We were at the restaurant and he said, "I just love watching you eat. I love how you enjoy food. And I love, I mean, it's me."
Okay. And can you love your food and eat?
I love my food. I love my serving it and cooking it. Oh, see, that's the other thing. So, you know, if I make one thing, let's say a casserole, I don't know, when I make one thing and we serve it, and maybe I have it for lunch or something, and then I throw it out. I mean, it's just all this cooking and shopping and preparing and all of this stuff, and I love to watch you eat. I mean,
all right,
it's who I am.
But can't he watch you eat to a two?
Well, he can.
Can't you love your food to a two? Overeating doesn't mean you don't, I mean, overeating, loving your food is not permission to overeat.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, because that's really, you know, it's not good for your body to overeat, right? I mean, that's why you're here, right? Because you want to lose weight. You can still enjoy your food. You can still love cooking. Your husband can still love to watch you eat, right?
Right.
So, I would watch this thought. It's part of my identity. You've created that part of your identity. Miriam is an overeater because she loves food.
Yes.
What if she's not? What if Miriam eats to her too and loves food?
Wow.
I mean, doesn't that seem just fine?
I guess it does. I guess I have to learn how to cook less.
Okay, now we can hit the action line. All right?
Like someone
half your recipes.
Excuse me?
Half your recipes. Or freeze half of it. Eat it for lunch all day. I mean, seriously, I make this chicken casserole and the sausage casserole that my husband loves.
Right.
And I'll make a big pan of it, and it's just the two of us here, and he will eat it all week long for lunch. So you don't have to throw it away. You can keep reheating. Casseroles are great reheated. Usually they're better. Sometimes they're better, right?
Right. No, I have to try that. I'm not getting distracted by chat, but something came across and said, why do you throw it out? Like a lot of it is fresh stuff. You know, a couple of days in the refrigerator, you're done with it.
Okay.
And I think that the problem now also is layered in because I'm newly retired. So this casserole I'm talking about would be, you know, my lunches at work, mm-hmm. or maybe I'd be, you know, I want to eat something before I get in the car. I mean, you know, so the thing is there's just no need for all that food anymore with portable transit to work, mm-hmm. and there's no need because I'm eating to my two, and there's no, mm-hmm. and it's just I guess maybe sad almost wasn't the word, but lost, like
just maybe confused. You don't know what to do, right?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe sad wasn't even really the right word. It was just, who am I? What am I doing?
It could be that you're, you know, you could move that to curious. Too. I think for your intentional model, I would move that to curious. Well, who, You know, if I don't identify anymore as Miriam who eats and overeats and eats some more, who am I and who can I be? You know, let's be curious about that. Maybe Miriam is someone who has her recipes now, you know, because you use all the fresh stuff. I bet you're a fabulous cook.
I like to think so.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. So maybe you just don't have to prepare as much or as often or something like that. And that's fine. What you're doing is you're creating a new lifestyle. So instead of being sad because the old one is changing, you can be curious about how you can make this new lifestyle even better than where you were before.
Yeah, I'm writing this down. That's what I'm looking down.
That's okay.
Okay.
But it's really common for people, I mean, people who have identified as overeaters,
right.
It's very common for them to be a little bit, this whole concept is really, you know, is really common. It's common for them to be confused about, you know, okay, if I'm not an overeater, who am I? Well, you're just a person who eats, who still enjoys your food, but you eat it to your two instead and you lose weight and you all, oh my gosh, you feel so much better. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just weird to identify as someone who just eats. Like, I always thought that was so, well, that I thought was sad. Like, people would say, and it reminds me of a Star Trek episode years and years and years ago, where there were these people who just took a pill for their nutrients because they just didn't eat anymore. And sometimes people would say, oh, I wish I could just get my nutrients in. Or food is only fuel. And I think that's terribly sad. I mean, I'm not saying everything has to be a joy eater, everybody, but in general, to just, and I think that plays into it also, to look at it as just fuel, because when I'm eating just to my two, it really qualifies as fuel. And, you know, it's just...
Well, you have made just fuel mean it doesn't taste good.
Maybe.
If you're as good a cook as I think you are, I bet your just fuel food is better than what I can cook in my kitchen.
I don't know about that, but I think that's sort of a little bit of what's going on there. It's like, I don't want to eat just to be at a two and then wait until I'm hungry again.
Which is the problem here? That you're not enjoying your food or that you don't get to eat as much as what you used to eat?
That I don't get to eat as much.
Right. That's the problem. So stop telling yourself it doesn't taste as good, because I bet you're just as good a cook whether you're eating to your two or whether you're eating to your six, right?
But it takes on a fuel identity because I'm only
eating. No, you're giving it a fuel identity.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, it doesn't take on a fuel identity. You're just not overeating.
Right.
Which is a reason to be curious rather than sad.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Be curious.
Yeah, be curious. Yeah. You know, I've heard many times, I'm really angry that I don't get to finish this, right?
Yeah,
I'm really angry that I don't have to throw it away. But why? You know, it's just because you're not used to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're used to the feeling of full, and because... Miriam is my spirit animal. I just got distracted.
You know? Thank you, Amaka. I'll try to live up to it.
But it's not really, if you think about it logically, it's not really a reason to be sad. It's a reason, it's almost a reason to be proud that you've identified that you've been overeating.
Okay.
And that you can treat your body so much better. And that you can feel so much better. You won't be as sluggish. Your brain will be sharper. All these things if you don't overeat.
Wow. That's really things I had never thought of. And right. And just putting like an addendum onto this, what about being overwhelmed in supermarkets? It's getting better because I talked myself off the ledge.
Well, why are you overwhelmed in the supermarket?
Because I know... that I can't eat as much as I used to eat, and therefore I don't shop as much as I used to shop. I'm not even talking about the junk. I'm talking about the perimeter of the store. I mean, I've been paleo and keto and all that. I already don't go down the middle.
Yeah. But why is that overwhelming that you don't shop as often? Why is it overwhelming?
because I loved it. I don't understand Peapod and people that have their food delivered. I love grocery shopping.
So why can't you still love it? I don't understand the overwhelm. If you love to go to the grocery store and love to look through the produce and the meats and craft your meals and everything, why is it overwhelming?
Because it's the same thing as with the eating, because I can't get as much. I can't, because it's the same thing. I mean, especially with produce, I'll end up throwing it out. I mean, I'm just a quantity person.
And it's okay. That's okay. So it's not really overwhelming. You're just mad because you go in there and you can't buy everything you see. Or you're not going to buy everything you see.
My toddler brain there.
Right? That's what it is.
None of this has to do with sadness.
You fix that with a list, girl. You know, you can walk through the produce and say, man, that's a beautiful grapefruit. Not on the list today.
Right.
Maybe next week. Wow, look at that butternut squash. Not on the list today. Maybe next week. You know, that's all you got to do. It's not, you're so funny because if you can get this, your brain wrapped around this whole quantity thing, you're going to be aces. You just have to retrain your brain a little bit to accept that a little bit less is okay. That you don't have to be over the top with all the food, all the groceries, all the time.
Wow.
Maybe next time you walk into the store, ask yourself, how can I enjoy this grocery store today? What goodness am I going to see? Just enjoy looking at. Rather than what it sounds like you're doing is, man, I wish I could have that grapefruit, but I can't. There's just too much food. And that's what your stumbling block is. It doesn't sound like overwhelm. It sounds like I'm just mad because all of a sudden I have to eat to a plus two and that's just not a lot of food.
I think you're right. I think with this new information, I can actually do my own model. I don't think I need you to do it for me. But it's very funny because I even did an overeat sheet the other day and I called my accountability partner and I said, I don't know what this is. I don't know what the problem is. She says, you know, you're having a temper tantrum.
That's exactly. She's right.
And she was right. This is all temper tantrum material, isn't it?
Well, what I love is that you see that. And I love that you're narrowing in so quickly on your plus two and that it actually makes you mad. Because that's really a very productive step because you realize what you're doing.
It's true. All right. And I love what you've just said to the caller before here where you said, overeat is not a failure. Overeat is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So how I think I'm going to apply this is when my toddler is going to have a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. Instead of fighting, say, okay. Let me use this as an opportunity to shift up here and see what's going on.
You just go ahead and talk, toddler. Let's just hear you. Because, you know, honestly, the longer you let it talk and you don't react to it, the softer it gets. It's eventually going to, you know, the thought will fly by and you'll be like, hey, see ya. Instead of, you know, I can't go to the grocery store and I really want to.
Exactly. Well, thank you. And I'm not going to avoid it either because my husband, like usually it would be I'd go grocery shopping and he'd say, well, do you want me to pick this up? And I'll say, yes, you go. I don't want to go with you because I've been avoiding it. So maybe I'll just face it head on.
Yeah. You know? Grocery shopping can be kind of cool, especially this time of year. Where are you from? You sound like you're from New York. Are you from New York?
Close. I'm in Boston, but I lived in New York 15 years. So
okay.
A little bit of a cross. Well, there.
I have family outside of Boston. So I knew I heard that area of the country. Grocery shopping can be really fun this time of year. You know, you could walk into the grocery store and say, I'm going to try something new and some beautiful piece of produce is going to be right there.
I want to try those fiddle ferns. I have no idea what those are. Those little round.
I've never even heard of them.
I've seen, this is like, they're available for like 2 weeks and this is the week. And I always say, I'm going to try them. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Why not? Right. Have some fun with it. If you try them, fiddleheads, I want to see what you fix. Put a picture of it in the Facebook group.
Anyway, I'll let you, I'm sure there are many callers lined up for your wisdom tonight. And well, thank you so much. I'm going to substitute curious and proud and everything instead of sad and confused. And
yeah,
I think just the change in the wording will change my whole outlook on it. So thank you very much. Thanks.
You're very welcome. All right. Take care. Bye. Wow, she was fun. Okay, Amanda, you're up.
Oh.
Amanda?
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry, I realized I didn't have the privacy settings correct.
Well, I can hear you, but I can't see you.
I know. I'm making sure it happens now. Hold on.
Okay.
Sorry,
Are you still there? Oh, there you are. Hang on, let me see if I can. Let's see. Yep, there you are. Okay.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so, thank you. I apologize.
That's all right. You're on twice, but that's okay.
Okay. So I'm an April baby. I've been a groupie since February and I've lost 27 pounds. So I feel like I'm doing well. I'm really excited and I'm loving the program and don't tell the others, but you're my favorite coach.
Yay me.
Don't tell Corinne, but I listened to the free podcast and I totally fell in love with you.
Oh, well, so thank you. That's
why I'm here. I've been waiting for you.
Okay.
But so I'm loving the plan. Everything seems to be going pretty well. But I have a beer festival I'm going to this weekend that I registered for in like February, super excited. It's like something I look forward to all year. And it's unlimited beer and food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'll go past my plus two because I don't like how I feel after I go past my plus two anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on a hot day because it'll be all nasty hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, I kind of want to give myself permission to graze for the 4 hours of the festival so that I can taste all the sips of the beer and taste all the bites of the food.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I'll never actually hit my negative two. Like, and I know because of the quantity of food that I'm consuming now that I'd get through like three beer tastes, like those 2 ounce pours and like a couple of bites of food and I'd be done if I stopped at a plus two and just stopped there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of wanting to give myself like a planned, I guess it's a planned overeat.
Okay.
And I just wanted to talk that through with someone who knew more than me.
So why do you want to overeat?
Because the entire purpose of the festival is the beer and the food.
So do you do that when you go to a buffet too? You plan it over?
No, okay. Because the buffets are all like, I can go to a buffet anytime. I don't actually have buffets in my, like where I live, but it doesn't feel like, a buffet doesn't feel like a special, I don't know how to explain it. It's more like this happens once a year. Other beer festivals aren't tempting either. It's just this like,
what's special about this one?
It's like the best beers and food from all around the country that come in and cater it.
Okay.
I
need to know where this is.
Yeah. So it's in Paso Robles. It's done. Firestone Walker hosts it, but it's an invitational. So you have like,
oh, so I can't, they open, I can't just drop.
No, they open up registration at 7 a.m. on February 7th and it's closed by 7:01. So it's like, it's a very limited group of people. It's one of those things where like, I don't want to overeat to the point that I'm uncomfortable, but I've done this before, like unplanned where like, I'll be at a party and I'll kind of just snack. And so I'll like stay at my plus two for the whole afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I'm planning on doing.
Okay.
But I felt like, I almost felt like I needed permission to plan it.
Whose permission do you need?
Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've heard in other coaching calls where like you do a planned overeat. And so I felt like this was something very similar, but it is similar.
The planned overeat is really for folks who like binge eat or have that time of the day where they always eat and eat too much and maybe not binge, but you know, it takes the decision to eat and puts it in the conscious brain rather than the reaction brain. So I guess you could do that, but I'm just curious if you don't like eating past your two, why would you want to? Why can't you go and pick, you know, five of the best beers and three of the best appetizers or whatever? You know, why would you, I'm just, the once a year thing is not the best reason, you know? But maybe it is to you. If it were me going, honestly, I wouldn't plan to overeat all day. I just don't like the way that feels, kind of like what you said. You get to do whatever you want. If you want to, you know, put on your 24-hour plan, eat all the things and drink all the things and, you know, I'll be back on plane tomorrow, it's your plan. Just like your reasons, okay? Okay. A plan to overeat is one of those things where you eat a little bit and you take some notes. And you eat some more and you take some notes. And you eat some more and you take some notes. I'm guessing that's really not what you want to do. You don't want to take any notes. You just want to go and drink all the things and eat all the things, right?
Well, and I'm not planning on even, I mean, I was speaking to a friend about it and she was like, hey, don't, like, just go and take a sip and then spill out the rest of it. So you still get to taste the beer, but you don't have the full 2 ounces. Mm-hmm. And take a bite of the food and let it go. So I'm not planning on blowing past my plus two. Mm-hmm. I want to graze all day. I want to give myself permission to do the grazing all day so mm-hmm. I don't ever get to a negative two. Probably, like I'm guessing that'll be the only time I eat that day. Like I'm mm-hmm. not going to hit a negative two for dinner that night.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like a lot of excuses, but that's what it,
you know what, if that's how you want to plan your day, you can do that. Okay. I wouldn't suggest doing that every Saturday or every whatever, you know, but for a special occasion, it's just like an exception meal. I think that's what I would call it more than a plan to overeat. So I would say today is my day for exceptions.
Okay.
And I would be, you know me, I'd be picky about which food I ate. If I looked at something and it didn't, you know, let's say it's the best sauerkraut in all of Tennessee. Still not going to eat it because I don't like sauerkraut. Okay.
Same. Yeah.
Let's say it's the best hot dog in all of Tennessee. Well, yeah, I'm probably not going to eat a hot dog. I'm going to save, you know, but you put a steak in front of me and I'm going to try the steak. So I'm going to be more picky about what goes in.
Just I like that idea
discerning,
a lot.
Maybe discerning.
I like that idea a lot because then I can still be there and experience everything. But
right.
If there are beers that I know aren't my type of beer, it's tasting them is pointless if they're foods that I wouldn't like anyways.
Right. Right.
I so like that.
Yeah. So be discerning. Yeah. I'm also cultivating quite a taste for beer. Okay. I love stouts in the wintertime. Ooh. I just love, oh my gosh. I just love a good thick coffee or chocolate stout or something like that. I'm trying to love IPAs, but I'm not crazy about them. Okay. So if I were going to a beer festival, it would have to be a really fruity IPA for me to even try it. And otherwise I'm passing that booth. So I think that's what I would suggest to you is just be discerning and, you know, enjoy, make sure whatever you eat is something you're really going to enjoy. You know, okay. Don't just eat it because it's there.
No. And as you're talking, I'm thinking if I stand in line with, because I'm going with a small group of people, mm-hmm. if I stand in line with everybody else, and there are beers I don't want, then I'm giving myself, my body that time too.
Right.
Rather than,
right.
So it might take me a lot longer to hit my plus two than I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. It might.
Okay.
Does that help?
That helps a lot.
Good. I'm jealous. I think it sounds like fun.
Thank you for the advice.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
I will. Bye.
Okay. See ya. All right. Melissa, you're up. Wow, this just hopped again. It's being kind of funny today. Hi.
You're gonna.
There you are.
Me and I have an injury, so I'm.
You have an injury.
Yeah, I got. I really. So I'm like on one leg with crutches. I fell and twisted my ankle. I don't know if I have a fracture, a sprain, or a strain.
Oh no. Gonna get an X-ray?
I will soon. But I couldn't get one today, and then I'm gone all day tomorrow because I have a school visit that I have to make. But it's related to what I'm having all these thoughts about it, and I have been doing a lot of TDLs before this and doing the self-love course. Mm-hmm. And I noticed a poison thought that I have.
Okay.
Is that I can't allow myself to be too happy.
Oh.
Because something bad is going to happen.
Oh.
And I know I've had this. I've written about it. I must still believe it. And so when this happens, I've been feeling really good and things have been going well. And then last night I found out that my dad had to have emergency surgery on his brain. He had a hematoma.
Okay.
And, and he's cross country. And then, mm-hmm. so he got it by falling and hitting his head mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. And then he flew. So anyway, and then today I fell just like him. I'm like, am I creating this?
Are you? Do you think you're manifesting these things?
I don't know, but
or do you think it's life?
Well, this has happened to me in the past, or maybe I'm just telling a story that it's happening. That.
Well, let me ask you this: Do you think that people go through life with all happy and no?
No, I know that it's 50-50, mm-hmm. and. Mm-hmm.
And so if you know that, then why are you considering the thought that if you're happy, something bad's going to happen? What if it just is? Okay, one day you're happy, next day you're sad. It happens.
Right?
Ups and downs.
It's just life a habit.
Ups and downs.
Maybe it's just a habit of thinking that.
Maybe it's just a thought error.
It is a thought error. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So when you hear it, you can say, well, yeah, maybe, but maybe not. You don't have to give
because
it
then my, that, but then it led me to the other thought that maybe I'm creating.
Are you?
Creating.
Do you have special superpowers, Melissa, to create this kind of thing?
Well, I did fall. Nobody else made me fall.
Yeah. But do you have special superpowers to create bad things when you're happy?
I can create bad things for myself.
No, you can, but you don't. It just, things just happen.
Yeah, I guess I'm having a hard time believing that. Maybe I need a latter thought intellectually, I can think, okay, especially if it's something that's happens that's out of my control.
Okay, so why do you think you fell?
Well, really? I fell because I was working and I probably should have been I usually set my timer when mm-hmm. I'm good, mm-hmm. more conscious, to get up and walk.
Okay.
I was working at my computer and I stood up to go to the bathroom and my legs were so numb. My left leg was so numb because of the way I was sitting mm-hmm. and I couldn't feel my foot and I kept walking and then I just like tripped and just my leg buckled and I must have fallen in a weird way or something.
So those are all the reasons you fell?
Yeah.
That's all truth, right?
Yes.
You nowhere in there did you say I fell because I was happy.
Right.
I fell because things were going well in my life.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do just recognize the thought error. Okay. Life happens. Some things are good. Some things are not good. There's ups and downs. Parents get sick. Legs go to sleep. Good things happen. Not so good things happen. You know, it's the way you react to them is what's important, because you're not manifesting them unless you have superpowers.
Right. But I do believe that I manifest things, because I can manifest good things as well.
Yes, you can create results for sure with your actions. Absolutely, you can do that. But you don't manifest a broken leg because you're happy. Unless you're doing something crazy because you're
happy. But maybe because like, the thought, but I'm thinking, is it because I thought, oh, I'm happy, something bad is going to happen.
Right, right.
No, that's what I'm, yeah.
That's the thought error.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I catch myself doing that when things are going well, or sometimes I catch myself thinking that when it's like I can't allow myself to be too happy because it's too scary or something. And I know that I don't have to think that, but I catch myself thinking that often. I realized. So
is that the real reason you don't want to be too happy? Because you're afraid something bad will happen, or is there something else?
Well, probably I feel like I'm not going to be able to handle that a negative emotion, and that's also tied to why I was overeating, you know, to buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to feel those negative things. So it's related that in that if I think I have to have a check, keep a check and balance on my level of happiness or something.
So are you dulling your happiness so that you don't feel as sad? Are you trying to keep yourself, you know, mid-range so you don't get too emotional either way?
Maybe I am.
What good does that do you?
It doesn't.
Well, there is some benefit to it, or you wouldn't be doing it.
Oh, right. Well, I guess the benefit is that I am not too disappointed or
right
to something horrible.
So you're sacrificing super happiness for fear of super sadness.
Right. Yes, exactly. Right.
When super sadness happens, though, it's going to happen. You're not going to be able to.
I know.
So why not just allow the super happiness? Try it out.
It's so scary. I guess it's scary because it's so, it feels so unfamiliar, and I recognize that is also the feeling I feel like when I'm getting so close to attaining my goal, and I actually have been there, but I'm always afraid of losing it because it's like it's too good or something.
Yeah. So you basically pre-fail. Because you're afraid you're going to fail.
Or I get there and I self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to that too.
Yeah. So you want to allow yourself to feel success. That's your work.
That's what I need.
In fact, when you come see us in August, you're going to be doing a lot of work on feelings, I would expect.
Yes.
So really, yes.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. So I want your homework is to define success and how it feels in your body. Picture, just close your eyes and picture super duper success. And what does it look like and how does it feel in your body?
And I know I have felt that many times. I feel like I have attained that in my life many times. But then I just can't hold on to it or really enjoy it too long. I just have to move on to the next thing because it's too much. Or I have to sabotage it because it's too much. But I do know what it feels like.
But maybe, why is it too much? Is there really a good reason that it's too much? Or is it just the fear of coming back down off of it and seeing the other side?
Yeah, it might be that.
Mm-hmm. Is it really, you know, is it really the fear of something bad happening? Or is it the fear of not feeling that same way forever and ever and ever?
No, I think it's, I don't think it's the not feeling it forever and ever.
It's an interesting comment in the chat that just popped up from Ellen. And she says she totally feels you.
I'm talking. Sorry.
And she says she grew up with a family curse, which is a thought. Every time things would be looking up, something bad would happen. Nowadays, the bad shit will happen anyway, so she takes advantage of when it's good. That's really all this is. It's almost like, who were we talking about? I don't remember. Earlier, another caller was like the good and the bad. So why not enjoy the good while you have it and then handle the other stuff when it comes up? You know, why not allow yourself that grace?
Yeah.
It's going to take some
time. And I do.
Because I
practice gratitude every single day. Like, I write my lists. I write things that I'm grateful for, and I really feel it. I do. I feel it. And there's so many amazing things in my life that I'm grateful for. So, I just need to practice that. Because sometimes when I feel the gratitude, like I'll just think of it going away. Like,
well, here's what
I think of how much I love my husband or my son, and then I think of them dying. It's just like a knee-jerk reaction.
Right. That's what we do. And when we do that, we are actually not allowing ourselves the time with them. We're thinking about, we're spending all of our energy thinking about what it's going to be like to be without them and not enjoying in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's it. Staying in the moment and staying present in the moment is where your joy is. You can deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. That's what it boils down to, is your disaster planning ahead of time, and you're spending all your time in the future when the bad things are happening and not paying attention to the good things and not enjoying the good things while they're happening.
Right.
So stop it.
Okay.
Feel better. I can't wait to meet you in August. That's going to be so cool.
Me too. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I'll think about that.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Ashley, you're up.
I called a few weeks ago about being afraid to tell my husband that I had joined PNP.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to tell you that I played the end of that podcast to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow, she's good. And he said, he's like, yeah, you know, that's your judgment, because I don't judge you for your weight. You know, I never have. And I know he hasn't. He's really loved me through thick and thin. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. So,
well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Probably on the lines of like sharing things, through this, journey, Kathy, something that's been kind of cropping up is, it's almost like sometimes food is like an emotional, it numbs me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am feeling really sad, or I'm feeling grief or anxious about something, I think it's mostly sadness and grief. Mm-hmm. I want to eat.
Yep.
And I will check in with myself, and I'm like, I am not physically hungry.
Right.
But I just want that. I just want to be numb.
Mm-hmm. You want the distraction.
It's just too painful.
Right.
My question was, is, and I know I have to feel these feelings and I need to work through them. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how others handled it because, God, sometimes it's really hard.
Okay.
It just hurts.
A feeling, let's just talk about a feeling for a minute. Mm-hmm. A feeling is the physical way your body responds to a thought. Okay. It can mm-hmm. be crying. It can be a stomach ache. It can be a headache. It can be, you know, whatever. So to me, grief feels very heavy in my body. You know, mm-hmm. I get short of breath. My chest, somebody feels like it feels like someone's sitting on my chest.
Yeah.
The crying, the headache, you know, all that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought that leads me to grief is I miss my dad. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I feel grief. And I don't know, my voice just catched when I said that, because that's the feeling that comes over me. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happens with a feeling is it comes over you like a wave on the beach, crashes on the beach, and then it recedes.
Yeah.
Okay. What you're doing is that you're interrupting that cycle, that feeling. And I'm just going to call it a cycle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where it comes over you and it manifests and it sits with you for a minute and then it eases back out. When you're sad, when you miss someone, when you grieve someone, you cry, but you mm-hmm. stop crying eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the receding of the emotion. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you turn to food to interrupt that cycle, you don't show your brain or your body that it can handle the feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. You're buffering instead. It's called buffering, distracting, avoiding, insert your favorite word by using the food.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a minute, babe. Sorry.
That's okay. The more you allow the feeling to cycle through your body, the less intense it feels. The more you know you can handle it, the stronger you become in handling the feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. Next month in the June program is all about buffering and urges to eat. Okay. Mm-hmm. You really, really need to listen to that workshop and do that work next month. Have you been, you've been all the way through No BS now, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I still feel like I want to go back through
sure.
Certain modules, mm-hmm. Especially like the food protocol and then the mm-hmm. thought download. I really, mm-hmm. I've only done like one thought download, and I think I need to do a lot of those because I think there's a lot of things that I've been not working through and kind of avoiding through food. And I think it would be cathartic to just
absolutely.
Get it out.
It absolutely is. You also, it's so interesting that you say that. I did a big old thought download about the race this weekend. Okay. Cause I've done a lot of work coordinating the logistics and my brain has been just, you know, what if I forget this and this isn't good enough and that, you know, all this stuff. And when I thought downloaded this morning, part of my thought download was I was just like this in April before camp too. And I was like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. there's a pattern here. So when you thought download, you start to see the triggers for your thoughts and the patterns and what kind of damage these thought errors, I'll just call them the thoughts that you really, you know, aren't really productive, are producing for you. So yeah. Journaling is super important
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can catch those patterns.
Yeah. And I'll share something personal. So I see a counselor mm-hmm. and she loves the journaling part. She mm-hmm. was like, oh, because I was telling her about P&P. She's like, mm-hmm. oh, I love this. You know how I yeah. feel about journaling.
Yeah.
Because I am extremely hard on myself. Very hard on myself. And so I think it's just like pain on top of pain, you know, sometimes. But I'm trying to work through that. So like mm-hmm. with my dad, I wasn't happy the way he passed. Mm-hmm. He just didn't have like the peace that I wanted him to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, like I'm a nurse and I feel guilty, but I know I can't. Sorry.
It's okay.
But you know, it's like, I have to let that go because I was there. I did my best. I'm not God. I can't stop, you know, him from passing.
Right.
You
also can't change anything about what happened.
I know.
And so the guilt is wasted back. Energy.
Yeah.
Regret.
To not go back there.
Right. Regret and guilt are never going to be productive for you.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't, I'm going to bet he wouldn't want that for you.
So
in order to honor him and his memory, you feel the love and you feel the grief together, and you kind of let the regret and the guilt go away. You know, you set them aside because they're not serving you.
Yeah, no. And I'm trying to, because it's not going to change anything. And I think that's, you know, I don't want to be living in the past. I want to be in the present. And so we talk about, grounding techniques. Mm-hmm. Cause even my husband, he said, get out of your head. Cause I do that a lot. I'll be up here all the time. I worry a lot. So just worrying and thinking about every possibility, or situation. But that doesn't seem to, I don't think that serves me very well a lot of times, because then things are just passing me by or.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I would agree with that. Just like Melissa, you're disaster planning. You're trying to figure out everything that's going to go wrong rather than living in with what's going right now and enjoying what's going right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you for telling your husband.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the self-judgment came up again.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about being hard on yourself and then being hard on yourself for being hard on yourself, the piling on.
Yeah.
How productive is that, right?
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah. Right.
That's where seeing your patterns could be super useful to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see what you do and in response to what feelings and all that kind of stuff. And that's when you go back and you look at those things and you find those patterns, that's when you know where your work is. Oh, mm-hmm. When I think that thought, I know it's going to lead me to here unless I find a pattern interrupt.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm working on self-talk a lot. It's just that has gotten so much, that has gotten better. But the worrying is still there. So, but
worrying is a lot of wasted energy, believe me.
Yeah.
It really, really is. And when you're worrying, you're not doing anything else.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? It's not only wasted energy, it's wasted time when you could actually be doing something productive.
Yeah, true. I never really thought of it like that. Because, I mean, so like this morning, I had been on vacation last week, which was great. But then when I came to work, you know, after being off the week, I was like really... oh, just so down and worried about all the work I would have to face me that was coming up. But, I mean, it was a lot better when I got there. So I kind of wasted my morning a little bit by just being anxious about what was coming at me. So.
Right. Interesting.
All right. I'll work on it.
All right.
I probably need to order a few more pages of the thought download.
Print them out, order them, whatever, get to it. I actually went to Michael's and I bought, you have Michael's where you are?
Yes.
I bought
that's
a bunch
how
of
I did the worksheets.
Yeah. I bought a bunch of these little journals. They're just this big. This one's actually my professional development journal, personal development journal. They're $5.
Yeah.
And they're nice and portable and perfect size. So. You could do anything. You could buy the planner. You could print out journals. You can buy $5 at Michael's, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, I just need to make myself do it.
Find something you love writing in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, bye. See ya. Bye. Okay, Melissa, your turn. The other Melissa. Hi.
Hi. I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous? It's just me.
I don't know. I'm an April baby.
So you've been with us 2 months.
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
The thought work part of things is still a little bit new.
Uh-huh.
Though I've been listening to the podcast nonstop. So I think I've been learning.
Cool. You, no doubt.
Yeah. So I had something happen yesterday that kind of I saw what was happening in my head, but I still let what somebody else said kind of really get to me. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really known how to move past it because I'm mad at her, and it really isn't, I know at this point now, it's really not on her, it's on me, mm-hmm. if something that she said mm-hmm. upset me. Mm-hmm. But I have this, like, I do in the past, I've had a hard time like letting go of negative feelings. I want to hold mm-hmm. on to them for them to know that they made me mad or they hurt my feelings. And so,
oh goodness. Okay.
I know. And I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's like a battle that's worth fighting in this case. Basically mm-hmm. my friend is my yoga teacher, and she is very into her parenting style. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not allowed to buy her daughter new presents. They don't have anything plastic. You know, this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm an aunt. I'm not a mom. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of talking about the kids, and she made some comment that something that had happened with our boys wouldn't happen with her daughter because she has a very different style of parenting.
Okay.
And I felt really offended.
Okay.
For some reason, even though they're not even my kids.
So why did you feel offended?
Well, I think there's more behind it, but the more obvious reason was kind of like, I felt like she was saying that her way of parenting was better, you know, that her child okay. essentially was going to end up better.
Okay. So that's the thought line of your model.
Okay.
Okay.
I have post-its here.
Yeah. So okay. That's how you find the thought a lot of times. It's really easy to find the feeling. I felt offended. I mean, you came right out with that, right? And when I said, why did you feel offended? You said, because she thinks her style of parenting is better. Which actually means my family's style of parenting isn't good enough for her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the painful thought, right? It's compare. Yeah. You know, she's decided you don't live up to her standards or whatever, or that's your thought. When all she said was, well, that wouldn't happen at my house because we don't have plastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, probably wouldn't. If it had to do with plastic and she doesn't have plastic, it probably wouldn't. She's probably no, right. Right? You just made it mean something more than that.
Well, that's where I have the problem, though, because, and I think this has come up in other calls, it's like, I think she did mean that.
So then, okay. So what if she did?
Yeah, that's the thing. What if she did?
So what? Yeah. You know, my coach tells me that all the time. She'll go, Kathy, so what? And I'm like,
Well, because.
Yeah. Because she hurt my feelings. No, wait, she can't hurt my feelings. You know, I mean, it's.
Yeah.
But really, so, I mean, she gets to be wrong, too. You get to disagree. It's all very innocuous. I love that word.
Yeah, it was. Then I started thinking about it more because mm-hmm. I was like, okay, playing it out of my head. I think I know what Kathy might say. Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah.
And so, then I said, okay, maybe the reason that I'm so upset is that in the broader context of the conversation, my feeling with her is generally speaking that she feels like, and she doesn't say this again, I'm just like, I'm making it mean everything about me, that if I don't have kids, then I'm never, and I think this is true, I guess, but it's hard for me to accept that if I don't have kids, then I'm never going to get to weigh in on the parenting conversation. And I'm never going to know what this kind of like magnificent experience is.
Is that true?
It feels like it might be true. A lot of parents say.
You're an aunt, right? Do you babysit? Yeah.
All the time.
Okay.
And there are four of them, Kathy.
And you don't think you can weigh in on any parenting conversations? I bet. How old are these children?
Oh my goodness. There are twins that are only one.
Okay.
And then there's a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Have you ever put anybody in timeout?
Definitely.
Sounds like you're parenting to me. I mean, maybe not in the biological sense of the word. But you're teaching them right from wrong every time you sit with them, right? You've put them in time out. You probably rewarded them. You play with them. You read to them. You teach them. What about that is not parenting?
Well, I thought that it was, but then I guess when I talk with other people, and because I'm 37, mm-hmm. I get now a lot of that, like, well, what are you going to do? It's so time. Do you know?
Why does it matter what other people think?
It doesn't. I think why it becomes sensitive to me is because I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want kids, and I don't know what I'm going to do, because I kind of do have to decide. Mm-hmm. Here. It's getting, okay. It's getting close. And I think that is sort of what this all brought up, was like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. Everything related to parenting right now for me is very, like,
sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it is helpful even just to talk about it and think that maybe in their lives I could be not a parent, but a parent figure mm-hmm. a little bit. So even mm-hmm. if I decide not to have kids, I could still have that relationship with them.
Absolutely. On Mother's Day, I was at church, and as they do, I'm sure, in churches all over the world, the priest asked, you know, all the mothers to stand. And he said, if you are a mother or a grandmother or an aunt or a stepmother or someone who wants to be a mother or a mother figure to someone, and he just kept going with all these biological, natural, non-biological mother type figures in our lives. And nearly every person in that, every woman in that church stood up, because whether you have actually born a child or not, you have likely mothered someone in some way or parented someone in some way, right? You just get to decide if that's good enough, or if that makes what you make that mean, right? She didn't get to decide how you feel about raising kids. And she can't hurt your feelings. It's your own thoughts that get in the way of that. Right?
Yeah. See, darn it. It's very sensitive. Yeah. I think that it's helpful, too, to think that the boys, you know, consider me a really important person in their life, and she doesn't get to define, or nobody else mm-hmm. gets to define that relationship.
I have a granddaughter who's like 19 or 20 months old, and she's just talking. And everyone, like me and my husband's sister, who is her great aunt, everyone that she sees as this nurturing caregiver type person, whenever she's with us, she calls us all mommy.
Oh, that's sweet. The boys call me grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they see you as that nurturing type female, you know, person. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if this has helped you or not. Getting letting go of negative feelings. But it does help. I think it does help you frame kind of going forward, at least with her, and maybe in your own mind, you know, how you choose to feel about yourself at 37 years old.
I think the way you said that, it's really helpful. I actually feel like I already let go of that feeling a little already, that I get to choose, you know, how I think about that. If I make it less about letting go of her thought and more about mm-hmm. the fact that I get to choose how I see it, it helps a lot.
Yeah. You not only do you get to choose, you get to own your choice. Okay. And that's the beautiful thing. I think sometimes we throw around, I get to choose a lot. I get to choose how I feel. That's right. But you also get to feel good about your choice. Okay. You get to take it one step further.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I'll be back.
Okay. See you later. All right. CDL, you're next. Hang on, let me mute you. Hi.
I'm Connie. I don't know why it says CDL. I don't really know how to sign in, so I'm okay.
Mine says Corinne Crabtree, so we'll just be whoever we want to be.
Well, how are you? I'm good. It has my email address underneath that, and I thought, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to put in to get on here, so I'll just press okay, and it let me on. So
yeah, well, there you go, you're here.
Yeah, I'm happy to get coaching. I always seem to just miss it for some reason or another, and because I'm on the Pacific time zone. Okay. So I work until 4, and then like on Saturday, if I plan on listening in and raising my hand, sometimes I have to rush off and do something. And so I just thought, I'm just going to take a chance and raise my hand. Maybe I'll get called on.
Well, good. You got it. So what's up?
Well, I've been trying to figure out, I've tried a couple different things. My witching hour is in the evenings, and I've been snacking in the evenings for, you know, a long, long time, years and years. So it's a habit. And it's also, as what the caller that was on first that I saw when I came in was talking about, you know, numbing her feelings with food. And I know I do that. And I'm going through a separation and just sold our house. And I'm buying another house and living in an apartment. And son's graduating, going to be an empty nester. And so I got a lot of stuff going on. So I'm trying to figure out this, you know, I just keep telling myself, okay, I'm going to figure this out. This, you know it's a habit. I'm not hungry when I'm doing it. So, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing it.
Right.
But
it's good awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm aware of why I do it. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, I've gone through so much in the last year with being separated, and we were married 24 years. So it's a new feeling, you know, being alone and dealing with the feelings that come up from all that. Mm-hmm. So at first I joined in January, and I kind of didn't do anything with the program for about a month. I was just had too much going on. I just moved into the apartment and just kind of was just listening to Corinne. That's all I could do. Mm-hmm. Hadn't opened my PNP planner. It just sat there on the counter. You know, so
it was pretty there sitting on the counter, wasn't it?
It was. You know, it was. So then in February, I decided, okay, I'm going to open my planner and start, you know, filling it out.
Okay.
So I did pretty good in February. I lost about 10 pounds. And what I was doing was just saying, okay, after supper, if you're not hungry, you're not going to eat.
Okay.
You know,
perfect.
And I did that. And then, you know, just with all the stuff that's going on in my life. And, you know, I feel like always keeping Corinne in my ear. I listen to her every day on the way to work and home from work. And any chance I'm in the car, I listen to her. And I've learned that, you know, I'm aware of what feelings that I'm pushing down with food. And I'm aware that I'm doing that. And I'm also very aware that, like a lot of us gals that are in here, that we have been suppressing our feelings for years and years and years. So it's something we have to learn to do, is to sit with them and let them come out, you know, and not just try to stuff them back down. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, I just went through one of those times where, you know, said F it and started eating. And I can't even remember why. I'd have to look back in my planner what threw me off. Probably was off for, you know, a week or two in that land, and then pulled myself back and said, okay, you know, I want to figure this out. Let's pick ourselves back up and recommit. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm expecting too much of myself. Maybe that's not realistic for me right now because of everything I'm going through and just, you know, having to deal with the husband and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so maybe it'd be more realistic for me to put those snacks on my plan. So I tried that for a while, and it seemed to be working okay, but I still have that, you know, I overeat. I'm still doing it. I'm still overeating. So I guess that, you know, I've even looked at the feelings wheel and tried to, you know, figure out exactly what I'm feeling and trying to learn to sit with it. And that, you know, it's difficult. It's, you know, a learning process. And I feel like, well, you know, I've been doing this snacking at night thing for so many years. It's not just going to go away overnight. So it's going to be, you know, something I'm going to always have to work on. And so that's kind of where I'm at, is just kind of, you know, I have journaled about it, probably not enough, but so, I really resisted journaling for a long time.
So you're putting your witching hour snacks on your plane now?
Yes.
Okay.
I was.
Do you?
But then that got out of hand too, so.
Well, okay. So what do you mean it got out of hand? You were eating more than you planned?
I plan, okay, because I like popcorn. I always have gold popcorn, mm-hmm. my own popcorn that I make. Mm-hmm. And then I have like a piece or two of the dark chocolate squares.
Okay.
Because I figure, you know, that's something I like, and I'm going to learn to, you know, live this program for the rest mm-hmm. of my life. I mm-hmm. want to eat chocolate and I want to eat popcorn.
Okay.
But, you know, when I'm having a lot of emotions and, you know, negative emotions, I guess, and stuff coming up. And I went back to work after being a stay-at-home mom for 24 years, and I just started my job 3 weeks ago. So, you know, it's just a lot of changes and stuff. So when I you know, I'm dealing with those feelings by overeating. So, you know, me eating more than my planned snack. And I thought, okay, now I need to put one bowl of popcorn, not two, one. You know, I need to put exactly how much.
Right.
You know,
and that's when you plan and overeat like that, that's essentially what planning and overeat is. You're planning to deal with your witching hour. And so you put down exactly what you're going to eat. One bowl of popcorn, two pieces of chocolate. That's it. Because that's, and then when you're finished with that, that's all you get. But by putting it on the plan, you're taking it out of the reactionary part of your brain that says, I'm lonely, I'm sad, I don't want to go back to work, I'll just eat. That's reacting.
Right.
When it's on the plan and it says 8 o'clock, one bowl of popcorn, two pieces of chocolate, then when 8 o'clock comes, you're actually deciding to eat. You're not reacting.
Okay? Right.
So once you do that for a while, you recognize that you're eating, you know, to plan, you're not eating behind your back anymore, then you can decide if you want to level it up or if you want to keep it. Okay. Right. And that's usually based on the results that you're getting.
Right.
Right. So if you're not losing weight and you know you've got a plan to overeat every day, maybe you only have one piece of chocolate and half a bowl of popcorn or right. something like that. Right. Okay. But I would take that down gradually. Or I'd take it to 5 days a week instead of 7 days a week or something like that. Okay. Right. But that's the point of the plan to overeat, is to manage that overeating that you're doing habitually anyway.
Right.
Right.
So that's what I think, you know, like it's better just to put it on the plan. And mm-hmm. My accountability group fizzled down to just one person, but we try to stay in touch mm-hmm. at least once every week or two. And she's yeah. like, oh, she goes, I think you're just going through a lot right now, and you got to give yourself some grace and just be realistic, you know, mm-hmm. maybe right now it's not realistic for you to give those things up. And so that's why I started planning them, but then right. I keep going. So that's where it's got to.
Well, that's where you're making a decision to keep going. Okay. I don't want you to feel like you're a victim to the overeat, because you're not.
Right. Yeah. So, no, it's my decision, and I'm
right.
Just like,
so it's your decision.
More, I'm going to have more.
Right. So that's why you plan specifically what you're going to eat, like you said, the one bowl of popcorn and not two bowls of popcorn. Right.
Right.
And then the other thing you need to do is you need to listen to this. You need to work the urges and buffering.
Okay. Yeah.
Program next month.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing. You're giving in to urges to numb out because you're lonely and you're mad and you're yeah. unsettled and you're whatever, you know. So if you eat a bunch of popcorn and watch TV, you don't have to think about that stuff. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I should just I mean, I know I should journal about it, but I just resist journaling. I think, oh, I already wrote my plan.
Why do you resist journaling?
Well, in the beginning,
it's 5 minutes.
In the beginning, I resisted it because I was so afraid somebody's going to read it.
Okay.
And then after I got over that, because my husband's not here anymore.
Right.
So, you know, it's just my son, and my kids. I have a daughter too. She comes and goes, and she's 22. But you know, it's just, I don't know. It's
so. What if they do read it?
Right.
I mean, seriously, my journal, my husband knows where they are. I mean, for all I know, he reads them every time I'm, you know, go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So what, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Chances are
they know how what you're thinking about anyway, because you've probably told them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I just need to sit it right next to me at night when I'm, you know, unwinding and watching TV, and because that's when it, you know, that's when I want to eat is at night. And,
you know,
it's just one of those things. And I, you know, I'll make a commitment just to keep a notebook by me, you know,
just to remind
you. It seems so simple. These answers seem so simple, but when you go to, I don't know, I guess it's just a thing with me about, I've stuffed my emotions down for so long, and to me, it's just easier. Isn't that sounds really stupid. It's easier not to feel those things.
Yeah. At your own expense, at the expense of your own health.
Right. Right. Okay?
When feeling those things, you know, feeling is just a vibration in your body. It can't hurt you. It's just a physical way you're thinking. It's just whatever the thought creates in your body. That's all it is. It's not that bad.
And I feel like this is like my not last hurdle. Cause I, you know, I know we're always going to have problems and we're always going to have to, you know, deal with them. But I feel like, you know, I've done some really good thought work as far as, you know, coaching myself and cheering, being my own cheerleader type stuff. And I feel like I've, you know, a lot of the stuff that Corinne talks about, I feel like I've, you know, have put into place, and, you know, I understand it and I'm using it and doing it. This is my, like, the big hurdle. It's like, so I guess just sitting and not eating is going to, you know, that's just
that's really the pie in the sky. What you need to do is plan exactly what you eat and stay on plan. All right. Okay. Cause that's what you're not doing right now.
Right.
You're planning what you're going to eat and you're overeating that. So start with planning exactly what you're going to eat and sticking to that plan, and then layer in some level ups.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And I was wondering, cause in that, same, tone or thinking, you know, when she talks about the planned overeats, like to sit down at the table with everything you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. And I guess I don't really get how that, I mean, I understand it helps you to not eat behind your back.
Right.
But, you know, because I haven't done that yet. I haven't sat there and, you know, done one bite and then write, do another bite and then write.
Let me tell you what that does for you. When you're sitting in front of the TV, how many times have you sat down with a bowl of popcorn, looked down and the popcorn's gone?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
When you're sitting with that bowl of popcorn at the table and that's all you have to pay attention to, it's going to feel like it takes forever to get through it. You're going to have all kinds of urges to distract yourself from the popcorn because you're not going to want to think about, am I really going to eat all this popcorn?
Yeah.
I mean, really, this is a big bowl of popcorn.
Well, I have it measured out. I have it measured out in a 3-cup bowl back from my Weight Watcher days. I was on Weight Watchers for 10 years. So
the point is, when you sit at the table without the TV on, you notice every single bite and notice how it feels in your body. You notice more about how it tastes, and yours might be delicious, right?
Yeah.
You just notice a whole lot more.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe I should plan one of those on the weekend or something when I don't have to work the next day and have a stomach ache.
there's a great call. If you go to PMP Tribe, PMPTribe.com, and go to the video replays and go to Corinne's Rants.
Okay.
Really great call on a plan to overeat. in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's a girl who did exactly that. She planned this great big bonanza of food to eat, and she sat there and ate it at the table. And it was fascinating to watch Corinne process that with her.
Okay, I will do that. Okay. I haven't listened to her rants yet, so.
Yeah, oh, they're boy, they're good. Yeah, for you, okay. Listen to the planned overeat. It's a good one.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I will do that, and I will keep a journal next to me, so I'll let you know how Perfect. I'm doing.
Good deal. All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Time for one more. And there is one hand. This is awesome. Deanna, it's you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, Kathy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to get some coaching on parenting.
Okay.
I actually did a recovery worksheet about a mistake in parenting.
Okay. So
I thought, since it's, you know, since it's, I believe everything that we're learning can be used in any topic.
Absolutely. I had one of my private clients do recovery worksheets when she didn't go to bed on time.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I totally get it.
Because it's like when you overeat and you say, why do I keep doing things that I don't want to do? It's the same thing like when I lose my patience with my son. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, I pretty much have coached myself through that, but I don't know. I guess I'm just expecting more of a change, and I just haven't given it time in terms of trying to change his behavior, trying to change my behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what I want you to help me with, but.
Well, tell me this. Give me a situation of a behavior. How old is he?
11.
Okay. So give me an example of a behavior that you want to change, a behavior of his that you want to change.
The first thing that comes to mind is the evening routine, like getting into the shower and doing the steps correctly.
Okay.
On his own, like get him to be more independent, and it's not working.
Okay. So we'll put in the C line of your model, son doesn't want to shower. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. What's your thought about that?
Thought is that he should want to shower.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He drives me crazy. Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand why he won't shower. All of those, right?
Yeah.
And the feeling is?
Frustration.
Frustrated. And what do you do when you're frustrated with him?
Often yell.
Yes. Anything else?
Try to reason with him, try to talk to him, mm-hmm. try to give him consequences, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Okay.
Try to reward him. I try to tell him, if you do this, you'll get this reward, that type of thing.
Okay. And then the result of, it sounds like most of, and reward him is another model, okay, because that's when he's done something good. That's not out of frustration. You don't reward someone out of frustration. The yelling at him and the constant correcting and all that kind of stuff, that mm-hmm. all leads to, well, let's see. The thought was, I don't understand why he doesn't want to shower. You don't mm-hmm. understand why he doesn't understand. You know, because you're not communicating. You're yelling. You see what I'm saying? You're butting heads, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I often say to him, I don't want us to argue all the time. I don't want us right. to be enemies.
Okay. So that's your unintentional model, right?
Yeah.
So you level that up. And if you think about, if you just put in the action line, think before I yell. How do I communicate with this child? You know, think this, ask myself this question. How do I communicate with this child? Kind of result, you know, that if you think about the model, right, you have circumstance, thought, feeling, action, result. Action line is right above the result line. So whatever you put in the action line is going to drive the results. Mm-hmm. So if you put in that action line, how, ask myself, how, what is the best way to communicate in this moment? What do you think the result is going to be?
I'm going to come up with ideas.
Right. So in order to ask yourself that question in that action line, what do you have to feel?
Like hope for change, I guess.
Yeah, hope for change, or maybe you're feeling open, or maybe you're feeling controlled, you know, anything like that, right? Okay. And in order to have those kinds of feelings, you have to think, how else can I do this? You know, how can we, how can I bring us together and to communicate better? You have to think, this is, you know, I'm open to finding other ways to communicate with him. Mm, right?
That would give me that open feeling.
Yeah.
That hope feeling.
Yeah. So okay. That's the power of the model, right? And it's all, I mean, I don't know how well you know the model, but basically what it does is it takes any thought that you have and shows you the result that you're creating, because mm-hmm. the thought creates the feeling. The feeling drives the actions, and the actions always create the result.
So in a way, my thoughts about it is creating what I don't want.
Right.
Anymore.
If it's right, the thoughts that you have right now that are causing frustration are ending up in a result that you really don't want. You're not communicating. You're butting heads. You're yelling at each other.
And he's continuing to do.
Right.
The result is he's continuing to do.
Yeah.
Wow. I never thought of it this way.
Yeah. So what you have to do is, you know, as a parent, look, you got to stay on your toes with these kids, right? I had two boys. They're, you think, we made it through 11, 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. But I can promise you, as a parent, you always have to stay vigilant in trying to find the ways to communicate with your child. You know, what are the best ways today to communicate with my child? Might be the question you ask yourself every morning. And then, you know, sometimes it's going to be yelling, and it's going to get through, and sometimes it's going to be something else. But you have to be willing to be flexible, right? And figure it out with each stage of his life, because he's also learning to be independent.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And it's my job to teach them.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Wow. All right. Thank you.
So does that help?
Think about it. Yes. Yes. I think I need to like get out of outside the box mm-hmm. about how to approach it. Because mm-hmm. what I've been doing is not working. So.
Right. Sometimes you can, are you friends with any of his friends' moms?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like having a tribe of women for weight loss. Maybe you have a tribe of women for parenting 11-year-olds, and you just say, hey, y'all, anybody else having this issue? What do you do? Because my kid doesn't like to shower.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very Thanks. Welcome.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. Hope that helps.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Good night.
Bye. All right, we got a couple Q&As, and then we'll get out of here. Let's bring this over here. Okay. Cindy, I'm wondering if eating to a 3, feeling full but not uncomfortable during an exception meal, is considered an overeat. I had this experience last week, and I actually felt okay with this decision. It felt like what a normal eater might do. I'm asking the question because I want to guard against rationalization. Well, I think anytime you eat after or past a plus 2, it's an overeat, whether it's an exception or not. You might go back, Cindy, and listen to the exception planning module in No BS and see what Corinne says. It sounds like rationalizing to me, but I'll let you go back and listen to that module. Okay. Then we have someone with numbers who says, looks like a phone number, I'm feeling like such a fraud. Outward face of strength, happy life, etc., but internal talk is of a woman in tremendous emotional pain. I have so many stressors, I don't know where to start on the model work because they connect and tangle with each other. I'd jump on a coaching call, but wouldn't know where to start. Would you recommend just doing a written list of all the worries? That's exactly where I would start. I would make a great big long list of everything you are worried about, and then ask yourself what you can solve for each one. So let's say you're worried about your kids, you're worried about your husband, you're worried about your job, you're worried about your car payment. Make that great big long list, and then look at each one and say, why am I worried about this, and what can I do to resolve it? Okay, worry, we talked about worry in this call a little bit. I hope you heard it. Worry is an unproductive action. Okay, worry actually goes in the action line of the model with nothing else. You can't worry and solve at the same time because worry is a spiral. You stew in worry. You sit, it's the dirty diaper. Okay, that's essentially what it is. You're sitting in the dirty diaper and you're just thinking about all the things that can go wrong. In the meantime, you're not solving anything and you're not enjoying what's good in your life. So that's exactly where I'd start. And I would super encourage you to get on a coaching call. You can either sign up with one with Corinne, or you can come back here on Tuesday nights or hit us up on Saturdays. Most of the time I'm here on Tuesday and Betsy's on Saturday. Sometimes we switch just to give y'all a little, you know, variety, give us a little variety. But I would really do that. You can also take this worry list and what you're doing and how you're working on it to ask coaches, and we'll help you with it over there too. Okay. All right, everybody, I'm going to let you go. I hope you have a super terrific rest of your evening and rest of the week. See y'all. Bye.